Hi, everyone. I'm Cynthia Garrett, and welcome to The Sessions. We're having a bit of girl club this week, right here on The Sessions. This week's session, I think, is going to be pretty cool because this week you have Nova Page.
That's it. And hi.
Going to be teaching you this week and walking through, I think, our journey and fellowshipping with all of you guys. And it's nice to see you. And as always, I just want you to know that we want to answer your questions. So how's the week been? What are you struggling with? What's the Lord saying to you? Mm-hmm. All of the above. You know, we like to make Girl Club about real girls having real talk about real life issues and applying our real faith. So I want you guys to feel free to chime in and send your questions. And while people are kind of loading in, Nova, you had an anniversary this week.
Yes, I did. Our little story is kind of funny because we were married twice, which is funny. We all kind of, because I'm from Canada, he's from here in California. And we, 25 years ago, we got married the first time on September 29th in like this little office. The immigration offices were like, you got to get married at this, you know, in this area in order for everything to make it work. We're like, okay. So we got married and I didn't let him have sex with me until the following week when I put my white dress on, which was October 7th. He's like, wait, we're married and we're staying at your cousin's house. I'm like, shoo, you can't have all this till next week. Sorry, buddy. So anyway, so we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary on Wednesday was the 7th, right? Yeah. So on the 7th of October. And it was really kind of a cool experience. We went away to a little beach house and Ricky had found our old, you know, 25 years ago vows in a box. And he brought them as a surprise to me and gave me this little gift bag with note cards, pens, and our old vows. And so we read each other our vows and we ended up recording it actually. And we're putting it on our YouTube channel, but it was so interesting because I realized even after 25 years, the things that I fell in love with, like the character that I saw and the characteristics and the gifts that I saw in him then, he's carried them all the way through. I'm like, you are still the same person. And I innately knew when I saw him for the first time, I knew that he was a man of character and he has lived it. And it's been 25 years. So I was like, it is really worth celebrating when we've made it another day in marriage. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's really worth celebrating. So it was super emotional. It was an emotional time because like to read my little scratchy handwriting on my little note cards from 25 years ago was, I don't know. I was just trying to put myself back in that little 20-year-old, 21-year-old, you know, mindset. And God really spoke to me that it's so interesting because I was reading in Colossians, actually in Colossians 2 this morning as well, but not letting people disqualify you because you're young. And I was like, gosh, I was so young. But you know what? The Lord speaks to the young. He really does. And he really spoke to me about my husband when I was really, really young, you know, and I'm not telling everybody to get married out the gate, but I really knew that I had heard from the Lord on him, that he was the man that I was supposed to spend my life loving God, serving God together, and blessing people with.
It's powerful. Character, you know, character doesn't change. And I think that's, you know, what's the lesson that you would share with the girls who are watching who are single? You know, what'd you do? How'd you pick him? How'd you pick right? You know?
There's kind of a couple different folds in that answer because, you know, I think you end up attracting, there's a certain amount of like attraction that comes just naturally, like what you exude, you kind of end up attracting that too. And I was definitely a little wounded young lady when I met him in a lot of ways, but I innately knew I loved God and I knew my life was to be submitted to the Lord. So I really desired somebody who I knew wasn't perfect, but really wanted God's heart and wanted God's will. And I had come out of a pretty tumultuous situation, but when I saw my husband for the first time, I was actually dating someone else. When the first time I ever saw him, and the Lord, and I, you know, people go, was that an audible voice? It was just this, like, I saw him, I saw the fire in him, and I saw the joy in him, and I felt the Lord say, that's your husband. And I was like, oh, I'm dating this person over here. It felt very strange, but the Lord's like, no, you were already supposed to end that like 6 months ago, and you didn't have the guts to do it. So now I need you to obey me, and I need you to stop that, and I need you to move forward. And that will, that other thing will come in time, but that is your, I felt like the Lord's like, that's your husband. And what's crazy, after I got married, my mom came to me. She said, did you know that the first time I ever met Ricky was the same time you met Ricky? And he went on my shoulder like this. My parents' names were Clausens, their last name, and everybody called them Ma and Pa Claw. And he went up to him. He's like, hey, Ma Claw. And she goes, he touched me and I knew that was your husband.
Wow.
And so okay. I know it doesn't always magically happen like that, Cynthia, but also there's a readiness, I think, for the young women who like aren't in a relationship or are looking, there's a readiness that if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, and there's a readiness in you to be open to what the Lord has, not what you think would look good on Instagram, but what the Lord has for you, and be, so that, you know, your life can be about glorifying him. I think there's a readiness, there's a stance, not a, like, not a neediness, like, don't be a needy girl. Be a submitted girl, and a girl who can just sit there and go, okay, God, I'm just going to trust you.
There's so much wisdom that is coming out of you right now that I'm trying to, like, I'm trying to like center it all as to where to start, because first of all, you nailed it. There's a readiness in you that needs to be in you to serve the Lord and to be open to a man that is chasing after the Lord and not women, you know,
girl,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of women spend a lot of time chasing after a guy who's not chasing after them, and they kind of tune out the guy that is chasing after them because whatever, maybe he's not the sexy, cool bad boy, and yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah.
But that speaks to that readiness. For me, it was a readiness to serve the Lord with all my heart. And when I heard the Lord say, this is your husband, this is a man of God that is chasing after me, not you and not any other woman. And it wasn't necessarily the type that I would have normally kind of went, ooh, yeah, ooh. It was, he was the man that became my rock, my friend, my steadfast. And his qualities were, they mirrored the Lord's, because he was chasing after Jesus.
Girl, I mean, what's kind of a crack up about my situation is that I knew he was my husband. He didn't even know my name. He didn't even not even remember my name when he saw me again. I was like, you did what? I was kind of like a little ego thing with me. I was like, you didn't notice me. And that's when the Lord's like, yeah, because you need to die a little more, honey. You need to die to yourself a little bit more. And the Lord's like, I highlighted him for a purpose, and purpose that, girl, he tried to get me on dates with other people. After a while, he didn't know I was interested in him. I didn't tell him. I was just like, whatever. But when I met him, I found out he was like planning on being celibate.
Right.
Hilarious. No, he was like, I don't even know if I want to ever get married. I was like, awesome. Fantastic. Thanks, God. Really? Like, are you kidding me? So I was so like, okay. And, you know, interestingly enough, he did have a girlfriend that he knew he was supposed to break up. So he had broken up with her. And then he really felt like, you know, I think I'm not even supposed to ever be married. I think I'm supposed to be celibate. I don't know if that was his way of like trying to be like his youth pastor from back in the day who was, you know, not married or whatever. But I don't know what that was about. But all I know, it was crazy for my heart. I'm like, wow. Okay, God. So that means you're really going to have to do some stuff here. And I was actually willing to let him go. I'm like, okay, you know what? If he loves you, Lord, and that's how he wants to, like, then I just have to release it. So I decided I would be friends with him. And we were friends.
Right.
Even though, like, the promise was in here, I was like, I'm going to release the promise to you, God. Like, you've promised, but I release it back to you. And I don't know if I had the maturity to verbalize it back then, Cynthia. Like, you know, but now looking back as a woman in her 40s, I'm like, in my own, you know, young, maybe in immature ways, even though there was some wisdom there, that's really what I knew what to do. And I really think, like, as women, and if we're surrendered, like, God does speak to us, and we may not be mature all the time or have all the right answers, but God really does speak, and he can give us the wisdom if we ask for it.
I think about the times he's probably, certainly when I was young in my dating life, God gave me the answers about everything. How to date, who to date, when to date, when not to date, what to do on those dates. I didn't listen until I was really ready to die to myself. And I knew that I had tried it my way for long enough, and I was willing to try it the Lord's way. And that only then can you see the man that God has for you, because I'm telling you, I think even with men in the world that we live in today, the only thing that will catch your eye in the world, if you're looking through worldly eyes, is a guy who's so secular, he shines in the secularism. But a man of God might actually not catch your eye, because you've got to be looking with godly eyes to even see a man of God. And once you see a man of God, you can see him and the plan of God that he has for your life. And then you can walk in it.
And I think it's, you know, even I think there might have been a question. I didn't really see the whole question, but maybe in speaking to, like, women who are maybe in their 30s and 40s and aren't married and are looking and waiting and have been waiting, you know, I think just to your point, Cynthia, about, you know, men out today in the secular world, they call it leadership, but really a lot of what we're seeing is just charisma. And charisma without character is very flawed, and it's not real leadership.
Right.
You know, like that, the charismatic, those men, they're like, you know, just like, oh, they're charismatic and they're a leader. It's like, that's not a true test of leadership, and that's not a true test of character. Character is who you are when no one's looking, and what you do when no one's looking. And so asking God to show you, you know, to be honest with you, not as a creepy person, but I did watch Ricky for a while. And the first time I ever saw him, he was laughing, and I'd noticed him opening a door, not just for a woman, but just for people. Like I noticed he was a gentleman. Like, I saw it. And then I watched him. I watched how he treated people. I watched to see if he treated other people better than other people. And what I noticed was, like, he just had kindness in him, and he had a servant's heart, not to be noticed. A lot of what I saw, no one would have, if you weren't watching it, you wouldn't have seen it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not to say he was this perfect person, but I saw in him something that I was like, not only do I like that, but I'd actually like to emulate that. Like, I want to become like that. Right. And I think I think that as women, even, like, you know, thinking about the women that are older now who have maybe been through it and not been able to trust men, and that, you know, they would look for men of character, not men with charisma, because charisma can die. Because that charisma you see, that might have come from, you know, a rum and Coke, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At times. Yeah. Or that charisma really is just feeding off the ego.
Yeah.
Of, you know, people paying attention to them. But what is this person like on, you know, a walk on the beach, or is he staring at other women? Is, you know, just those yeah. things. Like, and then, you know.
Does he see you? You yeah. know, that was always a big one when I realized as Roger was courting me, he saw me.
Yeah.
He didn't see TV. He didn't see other people, didn't see maybe this or didn't know that. He actually saw my qualities that exist in my heart. And he saw the vision of me in my life. And it was the vision that I knew was the godly one, you know,
yeah.
and he called that. You know, I think what you can't have the vision of who, like Ricky saw Nova and who Nova would become. And he could place his trust and his faith in that. You know, and I think a lot of the problem for young women today and even, you know, trying to enter into relationships is that you're in progress still. You haven't decided who you're going to become in God, in Christ. Not that you know everything. I mean, Lord knows I've become so many different things in my marriage, right? I've tried this business or tried that business or done this.
Yep.
Or that. But who I am and who I wanted to become, that's all that was decided by the time I met Roger. I knew that I was God's daughter. I knew what my identity in Christ was. I knew what my negotiables were, and I knew what my non-negotiables were. And mm-hmm. it's interesting because getting clear about that in my life has helped me to be the same way, you know, in every other area of my life. And you and I were talking about it earlier, and I was saying how in business, I notice myself and I'm like, wow, I am so, this is the line, you cross my line, no, this is how we will do this deal, this is what's fair, this may not seem right, but this is how it has to be for my client.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I feel like that's a God-given strength even that comes from knowing who you are in Christ and just... Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for anything except to do what needs to be done in the way it needs to be done on the day it needs to be done as determined by the Lord. We have an interesting question here, Nova. I want us to kind of unpack this because this is interesting.
Yeah.
Stephanie asked, do you guys have any advice for an older lady who is still waiting but feels like time is running out? All is ticking very loud, which that's hilarious because I didn't get married until I think I met Roger at 40. I think I was 40 years old, 40, 41 years old when I met him. And we got married and I was 45. So yeah, now I had already been married, which was not, I mean, it wasn't really a marriage. It was my crazy testimony. And for those of you,
everybody just needs to read your book.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to read your book.
Yeah. Prodigal daughter, my
prodigal daughter
testimony. And yeah, I don't know if you'd call that marriage. I ran off very, very young and got married and had a child. So the clock ticking thing biologically, there was only a sadness because I wanted more kids, but you know, I was pregnant longer than I was married. So, and God worked out the more kids part because he's given me a lot more kids, which is kind of funny. They just came to me in different ways and I love them all just the same. But it is interesting because I think fear can come in. You know, I remember thinking, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be married or maybe I'm not cut out for marriage. I mean, the enemy tried all the lies. You know, maybe yeah. you're a girl. I remember I had an ex-boyfriend who said to me, you've always been that girl since high school who just, you're just always going to have this book of chapter after chapter of great loves. And it's just so, it's so wonderful and passionate. And I was listening to him and I was like, I'm very tempted to buy into this lie from the pit of hell right now. Cause it sounds so good.
It sounds romantic. It sounds romantic. Yeah. And like super hot and like, wow, a woman of the world. And right. Yeah. Very tantalizing.
Right. And then I was like, that's horrible. I reject that narrative, because you know what that really is? That's the enemy's trap to be lonely. Yeah. So that's when I really started like going, okay, first of all, God's got this. He's got this. You can have a husband. Are you open to maybe, you know, a man that you might not otherwise notice or see? Because that's really what it was for me. My husband is a man that I may not have otherwise noticed or seen if I weren't in a certain place of openness to what the Lord wanted to do in my life. You know?
Yeah, man. I think about you and Roger. I'm like, I mean, just the man just opens his mouth and you're like jaw dropped, you know? And like, had you not opened your ears, you wouldn't have understood like the depth and the richness and the like how wise he is and what a godly man he is. And he's generous and he's so gifted. And like, had you not positioned your heart the way you did, then you wouldn't have seen him.
Right. Right. No, I would not have seen him. It was truly that I was looking for the Lord, and in looking for the Lord and being submitted to the Lord, I could see my husband was in the Lord and of the Lord and submitted to the Lord.
Yeah, it's interesting because Ricky and I have had this interesting conversation on our podcast on marrying. And, you know, people going, well, you know, do you marry the one? Do you, you know, is that the perfect person for you? And did you marry the wrong person? It's like, well, if one person didn't marry the right person, then we're all jacked up. So I think, you know, what happens in life is you marry, you know, who you really believe that God has called you to. As a believer, we, you know, it's like, okay, Lord, this is a godly person. I feel like you've drawn him into my sphere and my life. And I feel like this is a yes. And you're never going to marry somebody who's perfect. So when you decide to make the covenant of marriage, because it's not a contract, it's a covenant, then that person does become your one and only. So it's like the shift of like, you could technically, that's a godly man. So I don't know if there is one perfect person, but once you make the covenant, that does become your person. And then that's where the dying of self and the two becoming one, that begins to happen. But it's a shift in mindset and understanding the covenant relationship between us and God and then each other and God. So, you know, it's because we've asked this question, you know, did I marry the wrong person? And the truth is some people have made some mistakes, you know, and I believe that after, like, you're never going to marry this perfect person, but after you say yes, and that covenant you've agreed, then that's where you can go, okay, if we're both two submitted people, then this can work if we're submitted.
I can't begin to tell you how many times I have looked at young women at conferences who's like, you know, they'll come up to me, Pastor Cynthia, depending on what country I'm in, because, you know, in South Africa, you know, Pastor Cynthia, can you please pray for me, pray for my husband? And I'm like, okay, here's the thing. First of all, are you the wife that you want your husband to be? Because someone put the question to me like that at one point, and I was kind of like, I would never marry me. I'm a mess. No. The answer was so funny and clear that all I could do was laugh. And, you know, and I'm sitting here, look, Stephanie, who asked the question about being older, we sound like we've had a similar journey, Stephanie. She says, I had a child very young and out of marriage, and I also have many spiritual children, and I'm okay to be single. I had my son in my crazy first marriage and then ended up with the baby and the child and not the marriage, which saved my life. And you've read both my Stephanie, so you know what I'm saying. She says, God is keeping me busy, but just this longing is always there, but I will continue to trust and wait. I get the longing because I did, even though I found this peace in being alone and I had my son, there was kind of a longing, like, well, you know, I guess it would be nice to have, you know, a marriage relationship that works out, you know, and a spouse that works out. But God really, I don't know how old you are, Stephanie, but I'm telling you, it's never too late. It is never too late. And in fact, before we, okay, 42, girl, you're about the same age that I was. I think it was 41 or 42 when Roger came into my life, and we didn't get married for 4 years. So I was 45 or 46. So you're okay. You've been a part of another session. Don't go away, because we're going to pick up next week with more of Nova Page and myself talking about all things marriage and relationships and dating. I'll see you soon. Hi, everyone. I'm Cynthia Garrett, your host of The Sessions, and I hope you're enjoying each and every episode each week of our virtual sessions from home. I hope you're staying well, and I hope you're staying happy, and I hope that you'll feel encouraged to pick up a copy of my new book, I Choose Victory, Moving from Victim to Victor. And I also hope that in your efforts to walk in victory in your life, you'll become a member of Girl Club. It's a live Friday life and Bible study that I am bringing you with a host of regular real girls having real talk about real issues and applying our real faith. You can find out how to register and become a part of Girl Club and how to see all things Cynthia Garrett at cynthiagarrett.org or at ichoosevictory.com. I love you guys. I'll see you soon.